This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد عباد الله All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is last and final messenger. First of all, for the brothers, the young brothers who are in the back against the wall, if your back is not in pain, Ahmad and the brothers back there, if your back not in pain or you don't have a problem in your back, otherwise you should come closer to the imam. You should not be sitting in the back. That's against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially the young kids back there who's talking Umar and the kids with him, just come forward and don't talk during the khutbah. Come forward. Come to the front. Yes. So, unless you have a back problem, you can sit there. You would have a lot of elderly people sitting and coming, and this is something you should raise yourself from the early age, is when the khutbah on, you come and you come next to the imam. That's how the Prophet ﷺ said, you can bring a chair and sit in front of me, and when the khutbah finish, you fold the chair and put it on the side. But to just sit in the back is just not a correct why, and it reduces your reward in the Jummah. The Prophet ﷺ said, when the khatib comes, you come closer, so you pay attention to the khutbah. As we all know, that holidays are approaching us. And in holidays, we do have a lot of time at hand. Especially so many of our children will take long holidays, some more than others. And that's, in my opinion, it's a golden opportunity for all of us to connect with our family. And today I want to focus on a particular one, which is the father. Yes, the mother is also important, and it will have its turn. But today I want to talk to my brothers, to the fathers, because father count. Fathers are important. Their existence and their children's life is essential. And your role in your children's life is not just to bring money. It's just not to work and to make money. That's an important role. But it's not everything. And believe it or not, I was just reading many studies about the influence that parents have on their children's life. And almost all of them agreed that fathers have more impact on their children's life than mothers. And I was shocked in the long term. Especially, they said this percentage, the gap get bigger when it comes to the daughters. And the absence of the father figure in the children's life, it is so damaging beyond your imagination. And that reminded me of something Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said more than 1,000 years ago. And similar to it, al-Ghazali. He said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَصْلَ كُلِّ انْحِرَافٍ وَبَلِيَّ فِي كُلِّ وَلِيدٍ غِيَابُ الْأَبِي عَنْ حَيَاةِ ابْنِهِ. He said, let you know that most of the problems that we have seen in children is because of the absence of the fathers in that child's life. That they're not there. That's why I thought it would be a good point to remind myself and all of us as parents who care about our children of the importance of taking advantage of these holidays or these days that's coming and long vacations, especially in the Christmas and the end of the year, to connect and reconnect with your children more. I said this many times, that kids spell the word love T-I-M-E. That's how they spell the word love. They spell it time, an equality time. So one of the things that I want us to focus on, that this has become a goal, no matter how old you are, no matter how old your kids are, is still that connection, the presence in their life, it is still so important. And the only time your connection with your children will end when they die. And it's not any physically, maybe it will end. But you don't have any more role to add to their life. Or you die. But the impact that you might leave in their life after your death, it will last for generations. Think about it this way. That you want to make sure that during these holidays, it will be a point of change in your life. Is to become not just a father or a biological father for your kids, but a real dad. It's not flesh and blood, but the heart which make us fathers and sons. The word dad, father, are very similar on the surface. But yet, I think too many people, they hold very different meanings. I know it's something I can't argue against. Undeniably, far easier to be just a father than being a dad. It's much easier to be just a father who, you know, do tech one plus one, you know, do this, do that, and that's it. And you don't have real life and real impact in your kid's life. They, both father and dad, go and work hard every day to provide for the family. Both, by the way, attend their kids' soccer game, father and dad. Both, they go to their school and they check the homework of the kids. But yet there is still a big difference between both of them. It's basically the difference is something that about the feeling that the children feel towards their parent or the father. How much that they are connected to that father. I want you to think during this holiday, like that. that you're not only holding your children's hands, but you got their backs. I want them to feel that. I want our children that to know that you not only bring money to the house, but you bring value to their lives. They not only expect to hear from you, but also they know that they can speak to you. Not only that you can, but also you care. There's a difference between your children knows that you can do this and you do that, but when they feel that, no, it's not about your ability to do it. It's because you care, you're doing it. It is not only about your rights. It's about their rights as well. It's not what you want them to be, rather how much you really believe in them. Be your children's superhero. Because so many times, I'm afraid that we as a father figure became a symbol of fear and just that grumpy, lazy old man at home. I want our kids to feel that not only they share our genes, but they share our lives. That they feel that they are real, they really share their lives with you, and you share your life with them. That they feel like they are a team, like part of your life. It is so important that your child don't feel that you are judgmental, rather you understand. Please don't repeat my mistake. And I'm openly admitting it. I thought for a while that it is about them knowing about how much I love them, how much I work hard for them. And if you notice, I don't know if you notice or not, I choose my words carefully. I don't know if you paid attention to what I just said when I said, I want your kids this, not that. And every time I said, I want your kids to feel, your kids to feel. So many times as father, we think it's about them to know. It's not about transferring this information to them. It's about if they really feel that or not. It's one thing to tell them that you work hard, but another thing for them to feel that you really work hard for them. It's one thing to tell them that I love you, then they feel that you really love them. That's a big difference between the two. That's why my daughter keeps saying, the older Baba gets, the smarter my father seems to get it, or to get. Understanding this point will help us a lot to reshape the way we look to our relationship with our kids. This is really about them, it's not about me. It's about what they feel, not what I feel. It's about them more than just me. And that's so important to make you understand your children from a better perspective. And it will help you a lot to connect with them much better way. Because so many times as parents, we only look at it from our perspective. We don't try to also look at it from their perspective. And again, no matter how old or young they are, many of us, for whatever reason, from whatever culture we came from, or raised accordingly, many of us didn't learn how to express their feelings. That's a big problem. You know, I teach a lot of young people, and I ask a lot of young people sometimes, when was the last time your father ever told you that he loves you? That your father ever expressed to you really his true feelings? And wallahi, you will be shocked that most of them said no. Well, I haven't heard that for a very long time. I know my father loves me, but he told me, I'm not sure. You know, so many of us who are very vocal about what we don't like of our children, but we are so quiet about what we like in our children. We speak a lot about the things they do wrong, and we don't speak much about the things that they do right. Love and care must be told, must be shown. Fear and anger must be restrained. My brothers and sisters, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كلكم راعٍ في حديث عبد الله بن عمر ومسعود وغيره وأنس كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيتي. Each and every one of you is a shepherd and responsible for his and her flock. And the father is responsible for his family. And in hadith Anas, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, as a hadith Hassan, he said in the end, فَأَعِدُّ لِهَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ جَوَابًا. And you will be asked about your responsibility towards your family. So prepare an answer for it in the Day of Judgment. As a matter of fact, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he talked في تحفة الولد, when he talked about the children, he's a whole book about this subject. He said, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ. The people of knowledge said, أَنَّ الْوَالِدُ يُحَاسَبُ عَلَى حَقِّ وَلَدِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُحَاسَبَ الْوَلَدُ عَلَى حَقِّ أَبِيهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about your responsibility towards your children before asking your children about their responsibilities towards you. And there is a narration came in regard to this. As a matter of fact, Ibn Umar said something I never paid attention to it before. ما تأملت فيها قط وأنا أظن أن أكثركم كذلك. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه عن أبيه said, قال بر الوالدين ما سمي برا إلا لأنه بر الأولاد للآباء وبر الآباء للأولاد. فهو فعل يأتي من الجهتين. He said the word بر الوالدين, it goes both ways. The word بر الوالدين, that basically the بر of the parents, it means the parents are good to the children and the children are good to the parents. It goes both ways. Obviously, all of us, we talk about بر الوالدين, we talk about what we are expecting from our children. When Umar رضي الله عنه, a man complained to him about his son, and the debate took place in front of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه. And the son told Umar about what his father did and been doing to him all these years. Neglected his education, didn't care of him, didn't support him. Then Umar رضي الله عنه, he said to the man, قال لقد عققت ابنك قبل أن يعقك. You have done wrong to your children or to your son before he did to you. You have قال وأسأت إليه قبل أن يساء إليك. لقد عقه صغيرا فعقه الولد كبيرا. He was bad to his children when they were young, so the children were bad to their parents when they were old. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُضَيِّعَ مَنْ يَقُوتُ. It's enough. It's a sufficient sin. It's enough sin that you will not handle your responsibility towards your family properly. It's one of the worst sins that you can think of. That's something I hope. I'm not going to go into details. I just want you to think and to reflect. And to go to these holidays, to these coming months, with an aspiring to change something in your life, change something in the relationship between you and your family. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names and attributes, أن يجعلنا وإياكم من الآباء الصالحين وأن يصلح ذرياتنا وذرياتكم. أقول ما سمعتم استغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. More than 55 years ago, a man by the name, or at that time was a child by the name, Rick Hoyt, was strangled by the umbilical cord during his birth, which has led to a brain damage, and unable to control his limbs, confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. When he was 9 years old, doctors told his father that your son will be vegetable for the rest of his life. Maybe it will be an option for you to give him up to an institution to look after him. Parents refused the idea. Said, no, we will take care of our children. The father struggled for many years. And when the son was about 11 years old, the father went to university near Boston. And he asked him, he found that the child have a very active brain and were able to basically connect this activity rigged up with a computer that allowed him to control the cursor by touching the switch by the side of his head. And finally, Rick was able to communicate and talk to his parents for the first time. Move forward, this young disabled man, when he was in high school, they organized a 5 miles charity run. Rick typed to his dad, "Dad, I want to participate." What's kind of interesting request. His father never ever run more than a mile in his life, but agreed to push his son, basically push the wheelchair for this 5 miles. He was sore for 2 weeks afterwards. You know, never done this before. Was so tired, exhausted by the end of the race. But he said, "It's worth it. It all was fine for me when my son wrote that day, 'Dad, when you were running, it felt like I wasn't disabled anymore.'" That words, he said, "It was worth all the effort, the desire, and the muscle ache that I had suffered for weeks." He became obsessed with giving his son the feelings of walking, that feeling of running, and start practice every day with his son. Every day in the morning, they go run. He pushed the wheelchair. They became so good at it. Rick wanted to participate in a marathon. And guess what? They run 26.2 miles. And they were so fast to the extent that the people, the organizers said, "You're ready to participate in the real big one, which is known as the Boston Marathon, that many of you heard of." And guess what? They did the Boston Marathon many times. Actually, they did the Boston Marathon 31 times in their lifetime together. But after the first time, somebody said, the son became more excited. And somebody said, "Let's take it to another level," where they participated in triathlon. How in the world a guy never swam before, never ride a bike since he was in sixth grade or something like that, while we basically riding a bike, swimming, and pushing his son for that with the basic and the wheelchair in this triathlon. He did it. He'd done actually 212 triathlon together, including 15 hours Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. It became an iconic, it became a news. Rick couldn't compete with his dad, but his dad would never compete with his son, without his son. He has never raced alone. He said that he only does it to see that cantaloupe smile in his son's face by the end of every race. I follow up them for a while. And the last news I remember, in 2013, in Boston Marathon, they had a statue made of bronze for them both because they did it 31 times. And they celebrated them one day before the marathon. But that's one marathon they didn't finish because of the bomb that took place that day. They survived, but I think next day they came and they finished it with the rest, or after a week or something like weeks after that, they allowed people to come to finish the marathon. And that's that what I remember, or the last I know of them. And that, by the way, at that time, the father was 72 years old. And the son was 50 years old. No question about it. Rick types. "My dad is the father of the century. The thing I would most like, if I would ever be able to do that, one day to pay him back, he will be in the chair and I will be the one who pushing him. That's be my wish in life." I want to leave you with this true story so you thank Allah and praise him for what you have, and to see how much we can do more to our children. In these coming holidays, make your children real priority. The amount of time we give to something indicates its importance to us. One of the modern presidents, I was reading about him, he said something caught my eyes and I will end with that. He said, I had the solid argument I had with my daughter when she was in high school. And he said, even I don't remember the exact thing that we argued about, but the argument heated it in the White House between me and my daughter. And his daughter actually, you know, commented on the incident as well. And he said something very profound. Can you imagine when your son or daughter hear that from you, the father? He said to her, as long as you are in this house, being a president is my second most important job. Can you imagine when your kids hear that from you? I recommend that we all think about this. And if you have a trouble, because that's another topic I will talk about it later on. How can I connect? What if somebody said, I would love to be that dad, but I don't know how to connect to my kids. And that's something I think worth discussion. And I highly recommend you, if you have a trouble to connect with your teenager, have a trouble to connect with your kids, have a trouble to basically to be that dad and for them to understand you properly, you know what? Maybe it's a good idea to schedule a time with Sheikh Kamal, Sheikh Ibrahim, myself. We can offer a lot of consulting from the experience that we build over the years. Or even we can help you to connect with people who specialize more for counselors, family counselors. And that's something worth spending time, maybe reading about it more online. And I commit that inshallah has mastered all of us, and I talked to the imams before, that this is something comes on the top of our priority to our community. To make sure we have a strong family, because strong family means strong community. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yusliha ahwalana wa ahwalakum. And in this regard, by the way, there is a conference, inshallah, in December 29th about this concept, the concept of parenting, and especially about the concept of how to connect, how to communicate with your kids. And there is even an interesting talk about the collapsing of parenting in modern century today. But anyway, inshallah, hopefully we get another chance to talk about it more in details. But I want to end because we have a guest today who's supposed even to give the khutbah, Sheikh Nader. So I hope that you guys listen to him after the salah for a few minutes. He's coming to speak to our community. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaghfir lana wa lakum dhunubana wa yaslih ahwalana wa ahwalakum wa an yahdina wa iyyakum sawa as-sabil wa as'aluhu azza wa jalla an yarhamana bi rahmatihi wa an yatawallana bi inayatihi wa an yuslih dhurriyyatina wa an yuhsina akhlaqana wa akhlaqahum wa an yajma'ana wa iyyahum ala kulli khair wa an yuwahhida ala al-ummah ala al-khair wa an yuwahhida ummat Muhammadin ala al-khair wa an yajma' sufufana fi hadha al-baladi ala al-haqq wal huda wa an ya'simana اللهم إنا نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تحسن ختامنا اللهم أحسن ختامنا اللهم اختم بالصالحات أعمالنا واغفر لنا ولوالدينا يا أرحم الراحمين وأصلح ذرياتنا يا أكرم الأكرمين وأصلح أزواجنا وطهر قلوبنا وبيوتنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم